Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
Hi. I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Hi there, this is Hayley Evanett, voice of JJ and Betty. I just wanted to take a moment to celebrate someone who was very special to me, who sadly passed away last year, my Granny Anne. She was a huge supporter of Mockery Manor and of my career as well, and also my vocal inspiration for Betty. So as such, I'd really like to dedicate my performance in this season to her. Thank you.
Previously on Mockery Manor, Betty sent each of the suspects a letter and brought them all to the parlor of the Four Spurs Saloon for a Poirot-style showdown. Sure enough, the currently comatose Bobby is revealed as the man behind Clayton's many illegitimate kids. 20-something years ago, Bobby sold Clay's sperm without the country star's knowledge. What an asshole. One of those kids is revealed to be Clay's assistant, Anna Lou. Not only that, but Anna Lou's mother turns out to be Clay's stalker, Abilene, the woman who invaded the VIP lounge on the night of the murder. That's right, folks. Abilene had bought some of Clay's purloined sperm to create her kids. Now, with those kids all grown up, Betty reveals that Abilene had recently been receiving love letters from someone purporting to be Clayton. Golly gosh. As for Jacob, formerly Harry, he claims to have come to the park with the sole purpose of getting revenge on Bobby for running him out of town all those years ago. But Jacob done changed his mind and let bygones be bygones. And just as Betty was about to reveal who really poisoned Bobby, JJ burst through the doors and confessed. Whoo-ee! And that's you all caught up. Y'all enjoy the episode now!
Longcat Media presents Mockery Manor, Season 3, Episode 10, The Mockery Murders, Part 1.
In actual fact, the name I wrote in Jacob's letter was... It's me. Hello, everyone.
JJ? You tried to kill Bobby?
Huh?
Why?
What?
Well, well, a confession. Has this little charade actually worked?
No, wait! That's
What's
not what happened.
JJ, why?
Everyone!
JJ,
hello?
What did you have against Bobby?
Listen to me, please!
What's going on? What are you all talking
everyone,
about?
Everyone, shut up! JJ didn't hurt Bobby.
She said she did.
When?
Just now.
No, George. She was saying it's me, sorry I'm late, not it's me, I tried to kill Bobby. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense. Oh, sorry, mate.
You thought I tried to kill Bobby?
So she didn't poison Bobby?
Apparently not.
What, do you think I was pressing my ear to the door, waiting for a good moment to burst in and confess?
You and your sister do have a flair for the dramatic.
Oh, bloody hell. Take a seat, sis. Wait, Betty. I have to give you something.
What's that? A book?
Yeah. From who I went to see. She's got hundreds of copies in her garage.
Look at the title.
Oh, this is interesting.
What's that?
Gonna share it with the class?
Don't leave us in suspense.
You were right, Betty. I had a flick through, and the person who wrote this, they hate us. We're in danger. I think this is a really bad idea.
No, it's fine. Trust me.
It's me!
Walter!
Hello, everyone.
Finally.
Sorry I'm late. Did I miss anything juicy?
Oh, just shut up and sit down, Walter.
Oh, I shall. Right here, next to JJ.
Please don't.
Betty, are you going to tell us who poisoned Bobby?
Oh, yes. No one tried to kill Bobby.
What's that?
What? What do you mean, no one tried? What have we been talking about?
The poisoned whiskey was intended for Jacob.
Jacob?
Oh, yeah, Jacob. Cool, sonny.
That's what Betty told me in the letter. That's why I'm here.
So someone tried to kill Jacob, not Bobby. Well, who tried to kill Jacob then?
Bobby did.
What?
The silly twat gave you the wrong glass, thankfully.
Oh.
Pretty obvious, really.
God damn, Bobby.
Man's persistent. I'll give him that.
Of course, Bobby's tolerance for his own pills is fairly high. A lethal dose for Jacob proved less harmful for Bobby.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Anna Lou, what's the matter?
I gave Bobby his pills that morning. He asked for extra. I can't believe I didn't think of that till now.
You didn't think of it because that's not how your mind works. Sadly, some of us have learned to look for deception in everyone we meet. And I do mean everyone. Let's move on. Who killed Clayton Brian Woodrow III? I tell you now, the perpetrator is in this very room. Shit, that reminds me. Finnick, can you ask Magenta to come back in?
Right you are, detective.
And the fulcrum on which this case turns is letters.
Oi, you and the turban, get back in here!
All right, I'm coming.
What do you mean, letters?
Over many months and many letters, the killer slowly moved their chess pieces into position.
You sent me a letter telling me to come here.
Yes.
Why'd you do that?
We all got one.
Yes.
What did yours say?
It said...
No interruptions, please.
It said Crackles did it.
Oh, Walter! Oh, for Pete's sake! This is not the order I was going to reveal things in.
Crackles? You mean the park mascot?
Yeah. Betty thinks Crackles killed Clayton Woodrow.
Yes, but I was
Which
going
got me
to...
thinking. Someone's copying the murders of 89.
Can you just stop?
Matty dressed as Crackles to murder Graham Wainscoat, didn't he? He did!
Oh my god, a copycat.
That's real smart. Hadn't him played
All right, all right, let's have some hush, please. No more interruptions or I'll lose my train of thought.
The question is, why did I see Crackles at the cottage?
Walter!
I'll tell you why. Because it's the killer's den, their base of operations.
That gives me chills.
The cottage where Graham was murdered. The killer's been hiding out there. Is that right, Betty?
Maybe. I don't know.
We also have Crackles on CCTV, loitering by the mine train staff entrance just before the lights went out. Looks innocent until you realise it's the perfect cover.
You've got the killer on tape?
Yep. Wearing the full costume. Except, if you look closely, instead of giant furry paws, Crackles is wearing a pair of leather gloves.
Did you know all that, Betty?
Of course I did! I was the one who spotted it! I've spent hours trawling through footage of that night. Once I saw Crackles by the mine train, I tried to trace backwards to see what route he took through the park. But the CCTVs don't cover everywhere, and the picture quality was like trying to spot a powder puff in a snowstorm.
So he could have come from anywhere. The crowd, the woods, the manor.
Have you told the police you saw Crackles at the cottage?
Maybe.
They'll make a case it was JJ in that costume.
What? Me? Why?
A forensic psychopathologist will claim you were drawn back to the scene of Graham's murder in the costume of his killer to obsess about your hero, Clayton, to make plans for when you finally met him.
JJ, you monster!
I wasn't in the flipping costume! I didn't do it!
Oh dear, not looking good at all.
Oh God, I'm doomed. This is just too much. It's all mounting up.
JJ, they won't win, I promise.
Yeah, she's right. It's not looking good for her.
Shut up, Fennec.
She needs to know the truth, Armstrong.
I'm getting to the truth. If you all just let me speak.
It's a copycat killer because they're copying the murders of 89 in a cat costume. Copy.
Oh my God, Walter, shut up. Just shut up, okay? This isn't funny.
Calm down, you big psycho.
If this is a copycat, the killer must be a Brit. How else would they know about these murders from 89?
The details of the case are public knowledge. Anyone can access it.
But it makes sense that it be someone with a connection. Someone who was there, with an emotional tie to the 89 murders.
Annaloo, are you enjoying this?
I'm just trying to piece it together, that's all.
What was I saying before everyone chipped in? Oh, damn it.
Miss Marple never needed notes.
Maybe we should break for lunch.
No. I just need to get back on track. Letters! I was trying to tell you about letters. Right, okay. Here we are. On the table are two letters. Ideally, there would have been four, but hey-ho. This letter here was sent to Clay's US fan club address before the concert. A letter filled with obsessive longing and veiled threats. It was sent by JJ. You mean someone pretending to be me? Exactly. The killer. Thank you to Anna Lou for supplying me with said letter.
There were others, but I had to give them to the police as evidence. I'm sorry.
Can I see it?
Oh, yes, of course. The second letter was sent to JJ from...
Betty, the handwriting is exactly the same.
Yes, I know, Parker.
What about the handwriting? Tell us!
Well, it's just like JJ's handwriting. It's spot on.
Oh, dear.
What are the chances? This is the second time a murderer's forged my handwriting just to frame me. The second time. Clayton's killer owes Matty royalties. They've nicked some of his best moves.
Are you all right, mate?
Do you want some water, JJ?
Oh, yeah, that'll help.
Could we just hurry this up, please?
Yes, of course. This won't take long. Let's just get on with it. So, the second letter I want to discuss is the letter that ensured JJ was in the mine train at the critical time. The letter from Mrs. Wainscote. We can't find it, sadly, so there's no way for JJ to prove she was lured there. Clearly, the killer went back to retrieve it for that exact reason. I sent Detective Fennec to interview Mrs. Wainscote to see if she could shed light on who might have written it. But she wouldn't speak to him. So, that's a pity.
Jeez Louise.
The third letter, that one there, was sent to Abilene Doherty a month ago, along with a plane ticket to the UK. This letter instructs Abilene to appear at the VIP lounge at exactly 8:15 p.m. on the night of the concert. It's signed, Clayton Woodrow.
She was told to go to the VIP lounge by the killer.
Let me see that.
So you already knew about the love letters to my mom?
Yes. Abilene told me all about it. In the shotgun wedding chapel.
Stay in the manor? Why would you want me to stay in the manor?
So that you don't have to sleep here. And because you might be the key to unlocking this whole shebang.
Is this a trap? What do you really want from me? Who are you anyway?
No, please don't get upset. I'm a friend. I'm trying to help.
I can't stay in the manor. Are you crazy? She wouldn't like it.
Kirstine?
No, my daughter, Annie.
Daughter? Brian has a sister? Oh! Oh, of course!
And yeah, Kirstine wouldn't like it either. She might try to kill me.
Abilene, I'll protect you from the others, I promise. It's a big house. They won't know you're there.
You think I did something wrong and you want to trap me like a wild animal?
No.
You think I'm cuckoo?
I don't.
Everybody does. No one ever believes me. No one ever listens.
Yes, but I'll listen. And I believe you. I really do. So, why don't you tell me everything? How did you and Clay meet? Was it romantic?
Yeah, it was. I always hoped he'd notice me at his concerts. And he did. And he fell in love.
He approached you at a concert?
Of course not. He's famous. He couldn't just come and say hi. He told me he tried to forget about me, but it was impossible. So, a while back, he started putting messages in the Clayton Fan Club newsletter Lonely Hearts section. Every single month, the same message. It said, "You were the cutie in the cowboy hat who came to all my concerts. Can't get you out of my head. Love to take you out for chicken. CW. I didn't know if it was definitely Clay or if the messages were meant for me, but something told me to write back. So I did. And then he replied, and it really was Clay, all right. From then, we started courting the old-fashioned way.
He left an address.
A P.O. box. I can prove it. I keep a couple with me to smell when I'm lonely. He sprays them with his aftershave. Here.
That's one of the letters from Clay?
Don't sniff it too hard. It'll remove the scent. He couldn't be seen with me or call me because his wife watches him like a hawk. But he wanted to see me so bad. He told me to come to his house once. So I did, and I got there real early, and I was making eggs in the kitchen for when Clay got up.
OK. killer wanted you to prove your devotion.
But then the housekeeper came in and screamed, and she called the police, and now I've got a restraining order. Kirstine wanted to press charges. It wasn't Clay's fault.
Abilene, this letter, can I keep it?
No, it's mine.
Oh, yes. Look, can I just photocopy it then? We can do that in my office, in the manor. Oh, yes, just come to the manor with me. I'll cook for you. We can talk more about Clay.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
She really thought those letters were from Clayton Woodrow.
Oh, Mama, why are you like this? She's so far gone.
If you want something enough, you can convince yourself of almost anything. I suspect letters were sent to more than one superfan. The killer needed someone they could rely on, someone who could be guaranteed to do exactly as instructed when the time came. Abilene must have emerged as the most malleable, the most obedient of Clay's fans.
So she was an easy target. Gosh, our killer must be a master manipulator, a genius of deception.
Total arsehole.
But why did Abilene need to be at the VIP lounge at 8:15?
To make sure I left my post at the mine train.
Yes, that was my very first thought.
Oh, I see. To make sure the coast was clear to murder Clay. Bloody hell, Betty, that is some detective work.
It was a joint effort, actually. Thank you very much. We discussed it, didn't we, Armstrong? We've been working together.
But it's not as simple as that.
Eh?
Something kept nagging at me about Abilene's appearance at the VIP lounge that night. The timing. Abilene arrived at 8:15.
I'm allowed to be here. Clay wants me here.
Fennec removed her from the VIP area around 8:30.
All righty then, Miss Doherty.
It takes 8 minutes to walk from the saloon to the shotgun wedding chapel at medium pace. Fennec, do correct me if I get any of the details wrong.
Yeah.
They spent 25 minutes in the chapel, during which Fennec called for a taxi.
Sorry, sir. No cars available at the moment.
Oh, bloody hell.
And used his considerable charm to soothe Abilene's frayed nerves.
No worries, I'll take you. Come on.
I want to go back to the VIP lounge.
They walked to the car park.
Slow down, detective. I'm in 6-inch heels. Clay likes me in heels.
Oh, pity's sake.
Abilene's hotel is a 16-minute drive from the park, if one obeys the speed limit. Finally, Abilene takes a sleeping tablet, and Fennec is able to return to Claytonville. All in all, Detective Fennec was forced to spend over an hour with Abilene Doherty. He arrived back at the car park around 9:45 p.m. 12 minutes after Clayton's deadly fall.
So, what about the timing?
Well, so many things could have been different. What if there had been a taxi available? Fennec, what if you'd been less considerate of Abilene's delicate state? Less willing to spend time with her?
Fennec would have got back to the mine train before Clay was attacked.
Precisely. But perhaps that was the intention, and the killer's plan went wrong. Perhaps the real purpose of luring Fennec away from his post was to ensure JJ could enter the closed mine train without being stopped by security. Once I realised the plan might have gone awry, I started to look at what might have been, including Clay's death. Was he meant to fall from the top of the mine train? A man of his age, with a heart condition? The excitement and stress of live performance?
Yeah. Not to mention being injected with a whopping great dose of adrenaline and pushed backwards into the ride trench. He could have died right there and then.
Yes, but that didn't happen. He was stronger than the killer thought. Clay staggered to his feet, tried and failed to get out of the ride trench.
That's why he followed the tracks. He was looking for a way out.
But guys, if Fennec had returned to the mine train sooner, he could have interrupted the attack. He could have stopped it.
Exactly. Which is why I discarded that original...
Betty, sorry to interrupt. What about the fourth letter?
You said there were 4 sets of letters. You've only told us about 3.
Yes, George, I was getting to that. In my own time.
Okay, fine. I confess.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
The 4th letter she was referring to. It was sent to me.
You're involved in all this, Magenta?
Well, I'm not here for the good of my health, am I?
Go ahead, Magenta. Explain the letter.
Now, before I do, I just want you all to know it seemed completely harmless at the time, and I'm a victim too. I've been cruelly manipulated by this, as you say, master manipulator.
Just get on with it.
He's not going to like this.
Who isn't?
Georgie Porgy, my favourite client. We go way back, don't we, my darling?
Yes?
I've been such a help to you, haven't I? You can barely tie your shoelaces without my spiritual guidance.
Well, you give such splendid advice.
I do, don't I? I do, yes. On so many diverse topics, too. Romance, pet care, auspicious times to travel, that stubborn yeast infection.
The tarot told me to use natural yogurt.
Oh, mate.
And sometimes business matters, too. Now, don't get upset, George.
About what?
If you get upset, that yeast infection will come straight back. And I did it for my mother, not for me.
Your mother? I don't even know your mother. What's this got to do with a letter?
All right. You see, the thing is... Oh, Mumsy, how much this time?
$2,000? Or he'll break my knees. I've only just had them replaced.
Oh, God, what was it this time? The horses?
Bingo.
Oh, Mumsy, you promised me you wouldn't bet on the horses anymore.
No, I mean it was the bingo, not the horses. Who knew you could lose $2,000 at bingo? Oh, Geoffrey from next door's here. I've got to go. But you'll wire me the money, won't you, dear? Thank you. Goodbye.
Oh, God. Oh, God, she's going to be the death of me.
What's the matter? Was that your mother?
Of course it was. She's bleeding us dry, Bernard. She wants more money. $2,000.
$2,000?
Yes.
All right, I'll sell another synth. We'll be all right. Oh, this just came through the letterbox for you. Here.
Probably a bloody bill, isn't it? Oh, no.
What is it?
It's a letter. Who's it from? Yours sincerely, Bobby D. McDaniels. Who's that?
Bobby D. McDaniels?
Yeah.
That rings a bell, Bobby D. McDaniels. What does he want?
Hang on, let me have a look. He wants blah, 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 let me see, blah. Oh, it's to do with George. You know that client who's setting up a theme park? The one with the chronic yeast infection.
Oh, yes, yeah. I
know. Oh, wait a second. Oh, my. I think the gods were listening to us, Bernie.
Oh, what does it say?
Well, this Bobby chappy wants to pay me money. £400.
£400? Well, it's not $2,000, but it's not bad. Well, what does he want you to do?
Well, the next time I have a session with George, he wants me to guide the discussion to Claytonville. And the night of the concert.
You lied to me.
Oh, lie is a strong word. But yes, I did.
I don't believe this. If I can't trust my personal psychic, who on earth can I trust?
Hold up. Why did Bobby write to this psychic lady about George?
It wasn't Bobby who wrote it. It was the killer pretending once again to be someone else.
I'm sorry, George. If I'd known, I wouldn't have. Obviously, I feel awful now.
How many times? How many readings were nonsense?
All of them?
Only one. The letter from not actually Bobby. It said I was to convince you to shift the concert from a night with a full moon to one with a new moon.
Which appears as no moon at all. Total darkness.
But I didn't just jump straight in and do it no questions asked. I did a little digging first to find out who this Bobby fella was. Once I learned he was Clayton Woodrow's manager, I thought, oh, well, that's all right then. That must be legit. He's just worried about the full moon, but he's too embarrassed to tell Clayton to change the date. A lot of people are ashamed to believe in oogly boogly woo woo, you see. So the next time George and I had a session...
The so-called spirits told me it was of huge importance to push the concert forward by 2 weeks.
Clearly they knew how much George relied upon his psychic for guidance.
Oh, Magenta. How could you do this? You're a stain on your noble profession.
I'm so sorry, George. I'm sorry to everyone at this table. All I can say is, and it's not an excuse, it's just a reason, but I trust too easily. I'm but a foolish girl who in my 23 years on this planet has not yet learned the wickedness that lies in man's heart.
Wait, 23?
She's 23! Good God.
My dear, I often forget how young you are.
Easily done.
Who amongst us wasn't guilty of a certain reckless naivete in our youth?
He who throws the first stone, something, 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 some sort of saying.
But what about the falling man? You knew someone was going to plunge to their death before it happened.
Well, I'm clairvoyant.
Of course.
Oh, come on.
Look, one can be both a genuine psychic medium clairvoyant and loosey-goosey with the truth at the same time, you know. It's an art form, not a science.
Sounds like bollocks.
She did accurately predict Clay's fall.
I'm sure there's a rational explanation.
Magic, that's the explanation.
You must use your power for good, Magenta.
Oh, George, I will from now on.
Just when I thought this couldn't get sillier.
Okay. But why did the concert have to be on a night with no moon?
So that when the lights went out, the park would be plunged into total darkness. Chaos would ensue. And when Crackles opened the door to the stage to guide Clay through to the mine train, no one in the audience would see.
Huh. How about that? Your deductive skills are improving, Armstrong.
Hey, psychic lady. How were you paid?
I beg your pardon?
This fake Bobby. How did he pay you?
Oh. In cash, sent to the park. A bundle of £5 notes. It was £375 short, too. I was had.
Pound notes? It was a Brit, all right.
Guess we're off the hook.
Except, Jacob, I believe you were living in the UK even then.
True.
Oh, who bloody cares? Betty, stop dragging this out. I can't take the theatrics.
JJ, this isn't just theatrics.
Mate, we've got to trust the process.
Oh. They need to know there's no escape from the truth.
Oh, come on, Armstrong. Surely you've said enough.
What are you talking about? I've barely got started, Betty.
I can't stay in this room knowing they're right here.
What's wrong with her?
JJ, cool it.
No, I agree with JJ. If you know, you need to tell her.
And if you won't do it, I will. I'll tell them what you told me last night in your room.
No, JJ. The killer knows all about 89. They knew what Graham was like. They knew Matty dressed as Crackles. And they thought, oh, what a good idea. I'll do that too.
They knew what Graham was like. They knew Matty dressed as Crackles and thought, what a good idea, I'll do that too. You can see where this is going, can't you? At that point, I was like, of course, it's someone who worked or works in the park. They knew where the control room was. They knew the electricity was on a timer and how to change it.
The timer in the control room, of course.
So that means there's just one killer?
Yes.
Oh, thank God there isn't two.
Oh, bollocks. What is it?
Oh, I've left my toothbrush in my room. I'll just go back and get it.
No! You can borrow mine.
No, it's okay. It'll just be a minute.
Gigi, you can't.
Betty, no one's going to attack me in the 2 minutes it takes to retrieve a toothbrush.
They might. Or you might scare them away. I can't have that. Here, toothbrush.
What? What's wrong? Scare who away? What aren't you telling me?
Oh, all right then. I was going to dazzle you with my genius tomorrow, but if you insist, you can have a hint. I've laid a little trap in your bedroom. I'm 65% sure the killer will trigger it.
The killer's in my room.
God, I hope so.
The killer's in my room.
Now, where had I got up to? Oh, yes. So, when I found out that Abilene had a mockery security pass, I knew whoever sent it to her had access to the office. And I was like, duh, of course. It's someone who works here. Or once worked here.
Like Matty, Hilda, Jenkins. Is this ever going to stop?
God, tomorrow is going to be bonkers. I'm a bit nervous, actually. Betty, we've got to protect ourselves. We've got to take control.
That's exactly what we're doing. Taking control.
Oh, thanks for letting me talk things through, JJ. I think it's calming me down. So, where was I? Oh, yes. So, the other thing that made me go, oh, they definitely work here, is that they knew about the adrenaline in the first aid hut.
They knew about the adrenaline in the first aid hut. They knew the layout of the mine train.
JJ, please. We need to do this my way.
Your way? I'm sorry, Betty, but I'm not sure I like your way. You've put us in a room with a psycho.
Why would you do that to me after everything we've been through?
You agreed to this. We're taking control.
And there's other people here. We're safe.
I don't feel safe.
Betty, maybe we shouldn't do this.
I think we should call this a day. Come on, everyone. Show's over.
Nope, I want to hear what she says.
But keep going,
I've got an order.
This isn't the way it's supposed to happen.
Those letters to Clay? The killer knows me well enough to forge my handwriting. Except they made a mistake. This is my handwriting, but it's my old handwriting. It hasn't looked like that for years. Since I was a teenager. Look at the capital S here. That's the Stussy S. I haven't done that since I was 18.
The killer must have known you as a teenager. It's someone close to you.
But this isn't about JJ. It's about Clay. He's the one who got killed.
It is about me. Look at the book.
book? What book?
Where is it?
Oh, that book you brought with you. What is that?
Here, look. Look at the title.
The Mockery Murders.
Mockery Murders?
No, no. The Mockery Murders?
Jesus Christ.
Someone wrote a book about mockery. How come I didn't know about this? What are they saying about us?
By David Blaine. Who's that?
It's a pseudonym. They were too scared to put their real name. They feared retribution from the Mockery Crime Syndicate.
Shh, Gigi. We're being filmed.
It's okay, Betty. I'm just telling everyone what's in the book. It's about us, you know. Margot, Jenkins, me, and you, Betty, and Parker. How we're a crime family, like the mob. It says we use the cover of the park for murder and smuggling. And for years and years, decades, Mockery bribed the local police to look the other way. Pretty sensational stuff.
All nonsense, of course. I'm not a single grain of truth in any of that. Gosh, wonder where we all forgot all these ideas. Walter!
Give it to me!
Get off!
Give me that book! Give it to me! Give it!
Oh my God, did you write it, Walter?
No, why?
What the devil's wrong with you?
It's not fair. I'm writing a book. I was going to call it The Mockery Murders. David Blaine stole my title.
That's a pretty obvious title.
Well, if you didn't write it, who did?
I was going to be the first. I've been doing research for years.
Get over yourself, Walter. No one's going to buy a grubby little book by you. Nobody bought Mr. Blaine's book either. And according to his wife, when it was rejected by every single publisher in the UK, the author spent the last of their funds on vanity publishing. 500 copies to be sold out the boot of their car. They sent one to Scotland Yard too, hoping they'd open an investigation. But they weren't interested. Probably thought it was some crackpot with a chip on his shoulder. They weren't wrong. So come on, how many did you actually sell? Out of 500, how many? Oh, let's hear it, Mr. Blaine. I'm dying to know.
13 copies. Unlucky for Sam. Well, for me anyway.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Podcasting, this is Roger Brigado Fisher, communications, something, Moonbase, wherever.
You guys can sort out the next thing. I need to get the rover checked and loaded. Jung?
On it, boss.
Excuse me?
If communication still makes a difference at this point in the plot, if we can keep this base or this moon together long enough to be a thing.
I changed my direction. I worked my way down. I took those scraps, the bits they'd forgotten about or thrown away, and I built my own place. Still inside, but within the shadows.
All my thoughts, my hopes, all of my heart is on a makeshift rocket hurtling towards us with the most precious of cargo.
We'll definitely deserve a celebration.
Not like yours. You and your boy down there? I hope he's got a private room waiting.
It'll be enough to be close again. Ah, meu amado.
When I have Alex back in my arms, maybe then I can think about resistance.
We've kept the corporations at arm's length longer than most.
Well, whatever you're building, here or wherever, I'm in.
Any way we can help.
It feels like we're approaching the closing stage of this journey. The final stop. But either way, it's been one hell of a story. And either way, it ends with Alex.
Moonbase Theta out. The final season. Broadcasting on your podcast feeds starting August 14th. For early access, join us at patreon.com/monkeymanproductions.
Moonbase Theta, out.